again for another week. Actually, it hasn't been a week because I put up a new episode on Thursday for Valentine's Day. So, oh God, I hope you're not sick of me. No, it'll be fine. I dream of our days. Smoking stolen, scalding cigarettes, misbehaving in meadows, convincing myself I won't miss you when we inevitably part, listening to Crispin Glover albums, pretending I understand because it makes me feel smart. I was lured into a trap by a trail of fruit salad chewits and tulips. I stare up at you, the cutest kidnapper in the wilds of West Kent. As you pick me up, romantic and rugged, taking me back to your lair. I glide across your bedroom carpet, broken vacuum, taking nothing from your world but making more noise than you ever imagined. Kept around because you're a heart-hungry hoarder, monumentally sentimental. And maybe that's why she left you. And maybe that's why I'll never leave, even when I'm on the other end of Europe. I dream of our days, after all this time, all the time. Streaming clowny clown clown, reading the last letter you sent, and hoping my new kidnapper doesn't hear me cry. Have you ever thought someone was dead and then it turns out they're alive? And you're a bit relieved, obviously, but it also kind of fucks with you because, you know, like you were at peace with it and you were okay with it and you'd accepted it, you know, that you were never going to see that person again and everything was gone. And then they're like, surprise, bitch. I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. And you're like, well, yeah, actually I was thinking that, but okay. Because I actually had that happen to me recently. Somebody that I don't think you could really call it a relationship because it wasn't, and I think I was probably too, you know, too young, stupid, idealistic, whatever, to, you know, for it to be a proper relationship, but it felt very important to me at the time. I have very mixed feelings on it now because there are some, you know, aspects where I'm like, God, that was kind of fucked up. But then sometimes I'm like, no, it was cute and lovely and fine. Anyway, but the long and short of it is, I, perhaps a little dramatically actually, thought that this person was dead because we had, I wouldn't call her a mutual friend. I'm not being specific on things today. I guess that's today's mood. I'm saying it's not this, but it kind of is, but it isn't. Anyway, so I wouldn't call this person my friend. It's more she was just someone I know. And so we knew each other back then, and she, you know, kind of knew this person through some other people. And so I ended up seeing this person, this girl, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we just kind of talked for a bit, caught up and whatever. And you know, trying to be really casual about it, you know. I was like, so have you heard from, you know, this person? And she was like, oh, no one's heard from him. Like, he's kind of just disappeared. And I'm thinking to myself, girl, I know that because, you know, me being me, I've tried to find him, you know, because, you know, I have, like, I've, you know, that thing where you, like, look someone up on Facebook to see what they're doing and, you know, or, you know, sort of other social media and Googling them and shit. God, I've done that because, you know, that's what I do. Because I hold on to things, you know, and to people. Even when I say, you know, oh, I never want to see you again, I'll see you again. You just probably won't be aware of it because I will be on that Google finding out about your life and what you're doing. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think I could be a spy. Just like a really like emotional and dramatic one. So I probably wouldn't be a very good spy, but there we are. Anyways, so I had looked for this person, but I hadn't found anything. So I kind of, in my own head, I was like, yeah, he's probably dead. Oh my God, he's probably dead, right? And then she says, oh, no one's heard from him in years. And I'm thinking, okay, that confirms it. He's dead. I mean, she never at any point said he's dead or we think he's dead. It just, you know what I mean? So anyway, I suddenly, a couple of days ago, get a message from him. And I was so mad at myself. I was like, oh my God, you're so stupid. Firstly, for opening it, because girl, did I need that emotional meltdown? No. Especially over someone I haven't seen in like over a decade. You know what I mean? Do I need that? No. But I did it anyway because I'm a dumb bitch. But secondly, I was mad at myself because I noticed his name on his profile was a shortened version of his first name. And I didn't think to look for that, even though that was what I always called him and that was what he always told me to call him. So I'm like, why didn't you think of that, dummy? You know, you call yourself a great spy? You're terrible at this. Anyways, so it turns out he's not dead. And, you know, me being me, I still haven't got back to him, but I found the time to write a dramatic poem because of course I did. And, you know, so I just, suddenly I'm like thinking about him and feeling all weird about it. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what to say. And it's not like his message was like, you know, required some big, you know, lengthy response or, you know, it was literally just, hi, how are you? But, you know, how am I? I don't know. I don't even know how to say that to people, you know, that I just sort of meet, you know, every now and again. Or, you know, when I call up to, you know, fix something with my heating or something and the person, you know, on the other end out of politeness asks how I am. And I'm just like, listen, mate, I'm not prepared to answer that. I'm not ready to answer that. How the fuck would I know? But to say that to somebody who, not necessarily now, but at a time meant so much to me, it's like, God, what am I supposed to say to that? For fuck's sake. Anyway, so I have yet to respond, which is great. But it's interesting because, and I just want to let you know, like, a little covert ad is coming up, but I'm telling you it's an ad, so you can't like report me like people do to YouTubers who like pretend that all their videos aren't ads but they are. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. My new song, which is coming out on Friday the 22nd of February, called A View from the Bridge, which you can get on all digital music stores and streaming services, that's the end of the ad, is actually about this person. And so it's just weird as fuck that they just randomly got in contact with me after I suddenly, with very shaky evidence I might add, decided that they were probably dead. It's just weird, you know? But I mean, I guess that's just the way the universe works sometimes. Life is crazy. Everything's crazy. It's weird. I should get back to him. I'm really bad at responding to messages, to be fair. It's like shyness, but over the internet. Try to break me with your pun-filled pickaxe, but I'm just no fun sometimes. I am trying, most times, to thaw as you thrill me while I hide glacial glee, because I'm afraid of the frost I always feel when I venture too far outside without a winter coat. Each button full of wisdom from the cold snaps back to reality that I have weathered. I will cry sometimes, but my tears will make intriguing icicles for us to hang on a Christmas tree together if you can endure my snowstorm. I actually adapted that from one of my songs, Winter Girl, which I released in December. This is another ad, which you can stream and buy and whatever you do to get music, everywhere really. So I kind of wanted to do like a kind of Christmassy song, and you know, because I didn't have one, and you know, I just thought, well, everyone's got a Christmassy song, why don't I? So, you know, kind of started doing that, and that was what I came up with. And I thought, you know, I wanted to kind of keep it, you know, kind of on, you know, on brand, kind of the kind of thing people expect from me. So, you know, it was kind of about, you know, sort of this kind of slightly screwed up and unsure relationship, and, you know, somebody wants to be the person that the other person wants, but they're kind of holding back, and you know, so I took the song and I was like, so I'm just gonna turn it into a poem, because you know, who's gonna stop me? Nobody. Because I kind of did it the other way around in my last book. Can I really get away with 3 ads in like the first 10 minutes of this? Yes. You can buy my most recent book, 27 with a White Lighter, on Amazon or at 27withawhitelighter.com. It's apparently quite good. Anyway, so I have a poem in there called Biro, which I then later adapted into a song, which is, oh God, I'm about to do it again, I'm really sorry, which is on my upcoming EP, Subliminals, which you'll be able to get a bit later in the year. Anyways, so I turned a song into a poem, so I was like, well, why don't I do it the other way around? I turned a poem into a song, that's right, and now I'm going to turn a song into a poem. So I did, and I had a good time. So it was really fun to kind of take what I'd already written and just kind of play around with it a little bit and see what I could come up with. So that was fun, and I kind of, you know, having the ending kind of mentioning, you know, Christmas and just kind of that hopeful, maybe it'll work out, you know, maybe we can make it to Christmas, you know, I thought that was quite fun, quite fashionably late, because it's now February, which is again very on brand for me. It's a shame that a darling as delicious as you has such drastically dreadful taste in the things that you put inside the mouth that I miss. I'm not sure if I'm referring to your taste in women or your taste in wine, but listen, I tried that wine and I had to mute it with milkshake because, no offence, but it was fucking disgusting. I'm shaking right now, sharing my shame with my nosy notebooks, who are desperate to hear how desperate I am for you to call me. And I drank a bottle of your white wine because it reminded me of you. Listen, wine is a fucking scam, okay? Listen, seriously, it tastes horrible, it costs money. Some of it costs quite a lot of money. And it's just the shittiest of all the alcoholic drinks. I don't understand how anyone can drink it voluntarily. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Who is drinking it? Who are these people who actually thinks it tastes good? Who? If you do, send me an email. I'm not even joking. And then we are going to meet up and you are going to show me a wine that allegedly tastes good. And I will call you a liar to your face. I think, right? Because it's funny, because everyone's willing to believe that, you know, Russian robots on social media got people to vote for Brexit and Donald Trump and, you know, Scottish independence and Catalan independence and all kinds of things. So how do we know that Russian robots on Twitter or whatever haven't tricked people into thinking wine is good? Because I need to see the receipts, is all I'm saying, because it's just, I've never had wine that's ever been good, ever in my life. And I've been alive now for 27 whole years. So I'd like to see some evidence for this. Anyway, wine being a scam aside, I wrote that, and then I sort of inadvertently turned it into a song. It's on the upcoming EP. I don't feel I need to plug that again, because you can't even like pre-order it yet, because it's not even really finished. Anyway, but yeah, it became a song later on. But it started life as this poem. And I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on this whole wine thing. I mean, what the fuck? How did this happen? How did we get here? What's going on? It's like mushrooms. People always going about their goods. Says who? Who? Where is the evidence for this? Anyway, back to the poem. So I kind of based it a little bit kind of on a situation in my own life, you know, and that was sort of really when I came to the decision that wine is a disgusting scam. I know I keep going on about it, but I just feel like as a society we've been ripped off, right? Everyone's always going on about big pharma, big cigarette lobbies. What about the wine lobbies? Who's going to confront that? Hey? Anyway, so I had this, again, as is typical fashion for me, it wasn't really a relationship. It was more a, you know, I really like you perhaps more than I should. Perhaps you like me too. We will sort of will they, won't they for a bit. And then, I don't know, I guess I'll never speak to you again. But in the midst of that will they, won't they, I just thought about her a lot, like all the time, really. And I started taking little things like of her into my life. And making them part of my life, because it, you know, it makes you feel closer to someone, to, you know, listen to a song they like or watch a film they like, or, you know, in my unfortunate case, drink a wine that they like, which is fucking horrible, but you end up getting through the whole bottle because, you know, because you're needy and weird and, you know, got more money than sense to spend it on that shite. But anyway, and so, you know, it just kind of became a whole thing. And I ended up you know, writing something about it, because of course I did. You know, I feel like nothing happens to me in my life unless I write about it, really. You know, because, I mean, in a way it's good. It means I can sort of remember everything, you know, and I can create something out of even the most boring things, like, you know, binge drinking out of some weird, you know, lonely clinginess. And I can turn that into something that's hopefully enjoyable for people. More enjoyable than wine, obviously, because, you know, as we've discussed, that's a scam. But poetry, not a scam. You're welcome. You are welcome. Bright lights impossibly shine through the days of darkness. As you began your last show, Sunday's child, happy and wise, each soft step echoed from the orchestra to the chambers. As you pulled red curtains from his chest, applause shooting from their guns. Everyone's tough until Miss Man comes around. You spin a signal, swan swarm the crowd, scalping, saving, swinging to the song you left behind. Everyone's tough until Miss Man comes around. Do you ever think about how people like, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, by the way, Franziska Mann, who, for those that don't know, she was a ballet dancer who was sent to a concentration camp during the Holocaust. She was Jewish, and she distracted the guards, and she managed to take out quite a few guards, and she signaled to other people to join her, and they managed to take out quite a few people, and, you know, it was a very significant thing, you know, because they were willing to stand up, you know, for their right to be safe and to exist and things like that. And it's weird to think that we have so many stories of so many people during that time period who weren't thinking about themselves, and they were being brave, and they were trying to help others and make things better. And then you think now, so many people are so afraid of even the most basic of confrontations that they're just sort of being polite to racists and stuff. Like, do you ever think about that? Like, how many think pieces after, like, big racial incidents in the news, right? There are always so many, like, articles, like, you know, yeah, these people are white supremacists, but, like, I don't know, they've, you know, financial insecurity and, you know, job losses and stuff, and you know, stagnant wages. Sometimes it just makes people racist, guys. Like, maybe we should look at things from their perspective. And it's like, or maybe we should fucking not, you know? I mean, I'm just saying. Like, it's not just the Holocaust. There are so many examples throughout history that if you allow discriminatory and oppressive attitudes to go unchecked, it dehumanizes the people that are being oppressed, right? And that always leads to something bad, basically. So at a time when history is so easy to access, why are we still putting up with this? Like, not to be a bitch about it, but what the fuck? Like, there are plenty of people who don't have money. There are plenty of people who've lost their jobs. There are plenty of people going through hard times. They don't all automatically become bad people. Like, that's madness to try and excuse that. I remember there was a white supremacy march. Like, literally, I'm not even exaggerating. That's literally what it was. There was neo-Nazis and, you know, KKK members and shit there. Like, let's be real about what this was in America. And unfortunately, a woman was killed. There was some counter-protesters, and a woman, she was killed, and it was horrific. But yeah, rather than saying, you know, these people not only think these very oppressive things and say these very oppressive things, they have now become violent and they have killed a person, perhaps we should consider this is wrong. There were so many things in the media sympathizing with them, like, you know, oh, it's really hard at the moment being a young man, and oh, they're going through so much, you know, the you know, financial stuff and jobs. And I'm like, why are you making excuses for this? What the fuck? They killed a person. Just admit that they're bad. Just say it. Just once. It'll make you feel good, I promise. Like, it's just weird how everyone's so obsessed with trying to protect the feelings of people who, quite frankly, shouldn't be protected. I don't think people should be protected from the consequences of their actions. I think people should face up to the fact that if you're a person who, you know, judges an entire race based on something, you know, stupid, or you want an entire race or an entire religion or an entire gender to be killed, you should have to face up to the fact that that's fucked up and that's wrong. I don't know why we're protecting these people from it. It's just fucking bananas. What the fuck? I'm gonna have to find something cheerful now, because that was that became quite depressing. I'm sorry, everybody. Arcade, smoking out on the street with your big eyes all across me. I feel your hands on my waist, your lust on my lips. We share my last cigarette, slinking back inside to avoid the storm. Spending all of our money on slot machines, lost in lavish lights on rain-soaked nights, feeling like royalty. Because we're minimum wage millionaires, and maybe we'll be lucky enough so that we can win some money and get Nando's for tea. I actually don't have notes for this, because normally when I do this now, because I've been trying to get all organized for 2019 and that. So what I do, I have a copy of the poem and I have notes next to it of like what I would talk about after. I don't have any for this because I just picked it out of what I have available, because I was actually planning on ending the podcast on the last one. But then I started, you know, really going on about Nazis. So I thought, better find something cheerier. So I don't really actually have anything specific to like plan to talk about, but I think I wrote it at an arcade. I remember one of my very early podcast episodes, and I talked about writing a poem at an arcade, and I do that a lot. Every time I go to arcades, I just feel something very I don't know, it's just something inside of me just goes crazy, and I just feel really creative. I think it's all the lights and the sounds, and seeing so many happy people, you know, enjoying themselves and having a wonderful time. And also, sometimes I actually do win quite a lot of money, and I'm not really sure how, because I don't really understand how slot machines work. Like, I don't know, you know how some games work, right? Like, I understand how, like, Monopoly works, or, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog or whatever, but I don't understand what I'm aiming for with a slot machine. Like, do you know what I mean? Especially the ones that have got, like, the second screen, and then they've got, like, all these different things, and it does all these different shiny things, and I'm like, what the fuck? But I, you know, I have a good time, and sometimes I, you know, sometimes I win a bit of money. I remember once, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I don't remember how I did it, so I'll never be able to replicate it again. But I won about £70 on one, and I felt very accomplished because I'd only put about £3 in it, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I was so impressed. I took a picture, I rang my mum, I was living my best life. And so that was really cool. But, you know, I'd really love to live somewhere close to an arcade, because, you know, like I said, I always feel very, just very creative when I'm there, but I don't really have one near me. Even now I've just moved, I couldn't exactly say to the estate agent, hey, can you make sure it's by an arcade? I mean, that's just not realistic. But I love going to them. I think the closest one to me really would probably be London. And am I really willing to risk the air pollution? Maybe. Okay, so that's all for this week's episode. But I will be back next week, next Sunday. In the time between now and then, you can always find me at my website, which is jenniferwan.com, where there'll be lots of fun things for you to do. There actually is. There's actually quite a lot on there. There's lots of free poems and stories you can read. There's some free audio. There's like some free songs and stuff on there. There's some free audio poetry collections you can download and listen to. There's all my visual poems, lots of video content. There's also literally an entire film that I made, Drowning in Us, which is there and available for you to watch. And you can also find all the links there for, like, if you want to read my books or buy my music or whatever you want to do. Really, that's the best place to look. But you can also look in the description, where I've put, you know, some helpful links to all the things that I do. So you can also find me on social media, which is mainly with the username Miss J Squared. That's kind of my whole username, just everywhere really. Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook, you know, everywhere really. Anywhere that requires a username, that's probably my one. And I post lots of different content on, you know, all different kinds of places. So until next week, good night, my love. And don't drink wine. I know we talked about this earlier, but I really actually cannot get this out of my head. We will talk about this again. Good night, my love.